This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Welcome to Enterprise. This is Open for Business, and I'm Rich Bradbury. Today's guest, Edward Hyde. You might know him, Gastrodome and La Bodega. He's the managing director of Gastrodome. Edward, thanks for joining us in the studio today.
Pleasure.
I think a lot of Bangsaites might ask you the question of what on earth happened to La Bodega on Telawi as people are walking up and down there now. And they're not seeing it there anymore. And it was part of the local furniture. Where's it gone? What happened?
Yep, very sad. It broke my heart to close my original baby on Jalan Telawi 2. After 18 years, we finally had to close the doors. But, you know, business is business, and we had to make that sad decision in the end.
Mm. Must have been a tough decision.
It was. It certainly was.
So you moved here in what, 97?
Seven, yeah.
What originally brought you to Malaysia?
A job, actually. I was working for a Malaysian restaurant company. My background is initially the wine business in London, and then I moved into restaurants in London and 5 years in Sydney, actually.
Yeah.
Eventually finishing with, I was running the restaurants for Harvey Nichols in London, and from there I came out to KL on a contract for 2 years to run a restaurant company here for a big Malaysian group.
Yeah.
And at the end of that 2.5 year contract, actually, I decided that I'd like to stay in KL. Really a lifestyle decision, and took the bold move to sell my house in London, plow all the money into our first tapas bar in Jalan Telawi 2, Bangsa. Yeah. And the rest is history, really.
That's quite a bold move. You went from opening one on Telawi, and then over the next few years, you seem to expand pretty rapidly, proliferating all over the Klang Valley. And at one point, you said you had 10 outlets open.
12 at one
12
point.
12 outlets open.
Yeah, it was a very rapid expansion. Basically, the first 10 years, 2000. Well, we opened La Bodega originally in the end of 99. And up to 2010, we opened at least one outlet, if not two a year, for that period of time. And it was really driven by opportunity rather than planning. Mm. And it was pretty crazy times. We set up a holding company called Gastrodome, and each outlet is actually a individual Sundram Berhad or limited liability company.
Yeah.
And Gastrodome, the name really was to indicate that we were a lifestyle group based on F&B, but we also had a spa called Osmosis. We had a deli, a lounge, the tapas bars, a French restaurant called The Press Room, Australian-inspired restaurant called Telawi Street Bistro, catering company, and the Italian espresso bars, of course, Espressamente Illy as well. So we had French, Italian, yeah, I mean, a real broad range of stuff at that point.
A finger in every pie, so
absolutely.
To speak. Okay, have you always been a bit of an entrepreneur?
At heart, I would say I have been. I've always been interested in business, right from when I started out in the wine trade at the age of 18, 19 in London. Mm. You know, just trading and buying and selling has always been an interest to me. And then I having been in the wine trade for 5 years, I moved into the restaurant business, and that really became my passion. And I always wanted to open my own place, but of course, money is a big factor there. And I did have a couple of attempts in London, but couldn't finance the openings there.
But what was Bangsa like back in 1997?
97, it was party central. Really, all that was happening in KL was some bars and, of course, the international hotels in the center of KL, and then Bangsa, and that was it. And I remember arriving in January 97, and I was a standard. It was like a street party, particularly on Jalan Telawi 3, not so much on 2. Yeah.
So there's been some changes since that time now. It seems to be a lot quieter down there now.
That's right. I've been there for, looked at it for the last 22 years, and operating restaurants there. My office is still there for the last 18 years. Mm. And I've really seen I would say three cycles go through banks during that period of time, probably 3 7-year cycles. And, you know, when we had Labadega, Tlawi Street Bistro and Osmosis, the spa, from, say, 2000 to 2010, that was really the first cycle that we enjoyed, you know, the crest of the wave. But by 2010, the whole... really, the whole scene was crashing down, and it actually became quite dangerous there. Mm-hmm. And it recovered a few years later, and new boutiques and cafes came in, and then we saw the same cycle again. And that's really what we're going through again now, the third time around, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're starting to see a lot of kind of smaller independent bars and a few little cafes and bistros popping up.
Yep.
But also, I'm starting to notice, I would argue, a lack of quality as well, I think, is something that is reflected in that area recently. And I think for people who are long-term residents of Bangsar, that's a little bit frustrating, because they moved there thinking that it was going to be either party central or the place to go and eat.
I totally agree with that. I really find it very frustrating, you know. KL, in certain areas of KL, certainly... you know, they're 20 years behind the times here. It's really time to catch up. You know, when we had Tlawi Street Bistro in Bangsar, that was a concept that I brought into Bangsar really from my experience in Australia, which was about 15 years earlier, and that was regarded as cutting edge. Yeah. And I don't really see much improvement from those days, really. That's quite sad.
What would you do with Bangsar given the chance?
Pedestrianize it. Yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, something like Rundle Mall in Adelaide, you know, nice street cafes spilling out, cobblestone streets, umbrellas, awnings. It'd be wonderful, you know, some cooling systems.
A few trees, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. Some green. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Because that seems
no cars.
Have gone by the by, doesn't it? Right, so... obviously now you don't have 12 Labadega outlets.
Correct.
You're down to what, three?
Three Labadega. So we've rationalized and reorganized considerably over the last, I suppose, 4 years. We had a very lean patch, 2015 to 2018. And really we went from 12 outlets to 8, down to 6 over a period of 5 years. And now we've rationalized right down to just the three Labadega outlets, just focusing on the Labadega. But from this point, we're now looking at relaunching, but still just concentrating on Labadega. Although I do have potentially another franchise opportunity coming up based on the coffee business, which is quite exciting.
That should be exciting.
Yes. Well, that's thanks to you, actually. the name of the brand will remain...
It shall remain nameless.
Nameless at the moment. Yeah, watch this space.
Okay. I think what we'll do, though, I'd like to take a little break at this point, and I think it's an ideal place to take a break, because when we come back, obviously the discussion about downsizing and rationalizing is something I think we need to have, and why perhaps that has happened, especially in today's trying times. We're going to have a little chat about that when we get back. Of course, you are listening to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Beautiful festive moments. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station. Welcome back to Open for Business on Enterprise. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today I'm in the studio with...
Edward Hyde.
Where are you from, Edward? What do you do?
Well, I'm from Somerset, born and bred in the UK. But really, I'm Malaysian now. I've been here since 97.
You've been here a long while, haven't you? Right, so just before the break, for those of you that are tuning in, Edward is from Gastrodome. He is the managing director of Gastrodome. Of course, they are a holding company for Labadega. And previously, you were saying you had, at the height of the Labadega influence, you had 12 outlets dotted around. And now you only have three.
Correct.
That must have been a series of difficult decisions to get to that point. What influenced those decisions?
Business decisions. I just couldn't keep companies which were losing money, bleeding cash going any longer. So we made some poor decisions on locations, really. That was the main thing. We had one in actually Bangsar Shopping Centre that lost money because it was really too upmarket for that particular location in a shopping centre. We had one down in Malacca, which was really a disaster. My big lesson there is, you know, don't try to educate a market that's not ready for you. Mm. And so within 3 years, we closed the Malacca operation because, you know, having spent a lot of money on a new renovation, it was still the right decision to make as we were bleeding money down there. I had another one in Pavilion that was losing money, so we had to cut that one off. And these, you know, these are just hard business decisions because, you know, these are not franchises that I've picked up. These are my own creations, and it's my own creativity involved. So it's always a tough decision to close something down.
But these are the stories that young entrepreneurs or any kind of entrepreneur needs to hear. You know, they walk around with the idea of, I'm going to open a business, it's going to be successful, I'm going to branch out, I'm going to franchise, I'm going to do all of these wonderful things. And you yourself have shown that it is possible, but there's always a time when things need to change and things can go wrong.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm not trying to teach your grandma how to suck eggs, but how much before you opened down in Malacca, I mean, you just said, you know, don't open in a market that's not quite ready to be educated for you. How much research went into location?
Not enough. Yeah. Right. We were really talked into that particular location by a very clever salesperson on the leasing side. And I believed in the statistics. I believed in the, the BS.
Right.
And, you know, it just didn't work out. The reality was not what was the picture that was painted for us. And, the market there and the location and the other tenants were not what was represented to us. So, you know, it just didn't. And I think, you know, I believe there's another English bar that had a really good go at it there as well and has since pulled out. So it's obvious that that Malacca market is not ready for European concepts. People go there for the local nonya food and leave it to that at the moment.
I mean, stepping out of your kind of business head for a second, you know, as a person whose businesses, you're losing them. How did it feel? How did it make you feel? Did you feel as though you were ready to kind of, you know, enough's enough?
Not at all. You know, I'm always looking on the positive side with business. I believe that La Bodega has a great future ahead of it. Starting from this solid, reorganized base now. You know, we grew in a very chaotic sort of fashion, no real planning to it. It's not a franchise, as I say. It's really unfranchisable. It's, you know, if I talk about La Bodega, I mean, we've got, 60, 80 items on the menu. You know, that's just not possible to do a franchise with that sort of complicated menu. Franchises work very well for operations with, you know, like McDonald's, for example, with 8 or 10 items. And that's great. You know, that's good business, but there's no creativity in there. And we are creative. We allow our chefs to be creative as well. You know, the other thing I think it's worth mentioning is that because we grew so rapidly and in a unplanned way, we ended up with over 350 staff. And that is really too many unless you're very well organized in a sort of corporate style. And I was actually reading the other day from sort of sociology level. I think his name is Yuval Noah Harari, Homo sapiens or sapiens. Basically, us primates, the maximum we can organize is 150 people, you know. So when you get up to 350, you're going to go into a situation. You can't manage it like that. Mm. And now we're down to the three outlets with a management company and catering. We have 120 staff, and it's totally manageable. And that's the way it is.
And yeah, and you feel as though it's totally manageable.
Yeah, and I'm enjoying. You know, I'm enjoying it again now.
Yeah, I mean, because that was what I was thinking. I mean, if you've got 12 outlets and you've got a spa and you've got something else, when do you sleep, man? I mean, that must have been a real issue. I mean, I genuinely take my hat off to you for like branching out so well and having your fingers in all of these pies and doing so well. But part of me is thinking, oh Edward, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you
know? Absolutely. I got a lot of advice from better business heads than mine at the time. You know, what are you doing? Why don't you sell while you're at the or sell some of the restaurants while you're ahead? Mm. That sort of thing. I didn't. In terms of financing, you know, I ploughed in personal money. I remortgaged my house, you know, twice, in fact. And all our profits went back into the business. You know, we just financed all the expansion through reinvesting profits. We didn't bring in any. It's actually very hard as a so-called foreigner, non-Malaysian, to raise money from banks, loans. So, you know, we were just financing the expansion through reinvesting profits and some personal investment, which is kind of crazy, a crazy way to do it.
Yeah, yeah, it is. So you're down to three outlets. Now, you're comfortable with the right amount of staff.
Yes.
I assume that the staff that you have now, you've cherry-picked up from the previous staff.
Yeah, and they've... You know, they're very loyal, so they've made that decision to stay with us, actually.
Right. Yeah. Has staffing ever been a problem here for you?
Certainly. It's normally the biggest headache, you know, in our business. But right now, I would have to say that we've got a really loyal group of people in all departments, you know, in the kitchen, bar, front of house, you know, the guys who do the washing up, right through to the band of managers that I work with.
Mm. Okay, so let's talk about expansion now. Mm. So, three outlets. How do you see yourself expanding this time?
I'm looking at doing one more Labadega in KLCC. We have a site, Four Seasons Place. I'm actually looking for funding right now. I'm on a kind of roadshow. So anyone out there listening who fancies the restaurant business, you know where to find me. And yeah, that's going to be one step up. It's going to be a Labadega signature outlet because of the location, 5,000 square feet. That's a big site with a Spanish chef. So it's really looking at one step up from the other outlets. And I believe that there's room for possibly one other Labadega in the Klang Valley as well before we start looking regional.
Mm. And this other side project that you briefly alluded to?
The coffee project. Well, this has just come up, and it's actually thanks to you and BFM BizBytes that I got in touch with the people. It's actually a coffee project, a brand from France, very similar to a project that I worked on before with Illy Cafe from Italy. So it's like a French version of the Illy franchise, and I'm looking forward to bringing that into Malaysia. In a few months' time, hopefully.
Excellent. Edward, I want to thank you for your time today.
Pleasure.
Good luck. Don't expand too fast this time.
Thank you.
That has been Edward Hyde, of course, the Managing Director of Gastrodome, associated with La Bodega. You have been listening to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.